Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Hey, yeah.
Good afternoon, Phoenix. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Mac Newton. Welcome to the Power Hour, the first Power Hour of 2009. Listening to the big band sound of... I don't know who this the big band sound of. Come on, help me out over there, Eric. No, it's the big band sound of Count Basie and his orchestra. You know, just a kind of a New Year's-y sound, just out there on New Year's Eve celebrating with your hats on, with your noisemakers, you know, experimenting, you know, experiencing all the greatness of 2008, and a lot of good stuff happened in 2008. Come on, gang, it's not all bad. It wasn't all bad. But 2009, who's not looking forward to it? I know I am. How about you, Eric? Yeah, it
can only get better.
It's going to be some challenges, but I'm looking forward to those challenges because it's just an opportunity for us to get better. Either way, it's going to be fun because, like my friend John Lang always says, you know what, Mac? Three things always let me know it's going to be a good day. When I wake up in the morning, when I get out of bed, when I'm able to dress myself. Those are three keys. It's going to be a good day. So Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour, the first show of 2009, listening to the big band sound of the Count Basie Band, okay? Turn it up a little bit, Eric. Let's give a little sound of it. Oh, yeah. You know, right here in Phoenix, Dennis Rowland, you know, cut his teeth singing with the Count Basie Orchestra in New York and on the East Coast. And boy, he does a great job singing all around Phoenix. So if you're lucky enough to live here in the Valley of the Sun, where it is now on Thursday afternoon, just a few minutes after 5 o'clock in the afternoon, with a beautiful blue sky and 72 degrees. So if you're lucky enough to be here, then you're also lucky enough to be able to party with Dennis Rowland, the veteran of the Count Basie Orchestra. And we just love our jazz here in Phoenix, Arizona. One of the things that surprises visitors is that we have a real active jazz community, and it's growing all the time as more hip people move here. So, gang, welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Nunes. Eric on the other side. We are missing, as you can tell, the fabulous Natasha, but she'll be back with us next week. She was busy today. Things got a little busy. But, Eric, nice to have you behind the glass.
Nice to be back. Happy New Year, man.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you. All right, gang, we're going to just get in there. We got a fabulous show on tap for you guys today. Just a fabulous show. We're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. We are going to pick up with the Quantum Leap steps 4, 5, and 6, hopefully. But you know what? I'm going to try to find a point in here where I can, you know, introduce you to goal setting. In fact, I'm going to use it as my monologue today to sort of introduce us to the whole philosophy of goal setting and what makes it so important. One of the shows that we used during our two-week hiatus over the Christmas and New Year holiday was I had a show on from last year where we talked about the main reasons why people don't set goals. So this, it'll be a great continuation from that. And then we'll also continue with our Quantum Leaps, how to move from the old you to the new you. All right, so we're going to get right into that. But first, as usual, we always have our shout-outs. We always have our shout-outs. And from Southern California, there's Ray. Ray from SoCal. Good to have you with us. And, you know, Albert from South Florida. Mark, welcome back. Welcome back. Right here in Phoenix. Got a nice email from Mark this week. In fact, let me see if I can find that here. I will share a part of that email with you from Mark here in Phoenix. And always, Kim and Mark also here in Phoenix. And all the guys up in Denver and Chicago, all the people there that are listening and have become listeners. All our friends out in Ecuador, and our friends in the Philippines that are listening, and we got old listeners. Dottie's back with us again. Dottie, where you at? And already came in to visit me last week. This week was Bev and Peter DeFalco. Bevzilla in the house. And Bev, I would love to see your pretty face to stop in and say hello to the Mac Daddy. Okay, gang, it is now about 7 minutes past the hour. Wherever you may be, whatever beautiful part of this wonderful world we're living in, but in Phoenix, as I said, it is a beautiful, almost balmy 72 degrees with beautiful blue skies. Is there a cloud out there anywhere, Eric?
Looks pretty good out there.
Yeah, just you know, wall to wall blue skies. Yep. So I hope I didn't make you guys from up north where it's about 2 degrees up in Chicago feel too bad. But that's one of the joys of living in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, but, we can complain in the middle of summer.
Middle of the summertime. some of us can. But I've got several clients down here from Milwaukee and other points back east where it's snow is just big snowy winter back east this year.
Yeah.
Real snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of snow falling, lots of cold temperatures. I thought that we had global warming going on, and that's, I guess not. I guess that didn't happen. Well, anyway, let's see if we can find Mark Roberson here in Phoenix wanted to just send me an email and tell me he thought it was a great show. And I'll share part of that with me. He was saying he was listening to the show, I think, over the Thanksgiving, and he said it had so many points that resonated with him, and he thought about what he needed to do better to improve his life, and got me thinking about his kids and how he often quotes some of the things that we talk about here on the Power Hour, and he was wondering if he could bring his young boys back by to meet me so he could have a positive role other than their dad. What a great thought. I mean, it takes that kind of thought. You know, it kind of goes back to back in the day where people thought it takes more than just one family to properly raise a child. It takes other members of the community to provide role models and other examples of leadership. And Mark, it would be my great honor. I would be really honored that you would feel that you'd like to bring your kids by to meet me. And I'll see if I can find something that we can do so that they can remember the occasion. So thanks for the email. In fact, speaking of emails, don't forget, if you want to send one out to me, send it to 7, the number 7, SEVEN, spelled out, at macnewton.com. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate your opinions, and we take them all to heart. So keep them coming. I don't always answer them, but if they're compelling enough, we'll even share them here on the air. Okay, great show on tap for you guys. And as I said, we're going to use the time for our normal monologue to sort of tie in to our shows over the holiday period and talk about goal setting a little bit, which is, this is the means, the ways and means by which you get to, from the old you to the new you. What I mean by that is, and that's not to say that the old you is bad. It's just saying that there are things I want to change about myself all the time. The old me, quite frankly, Eric, was impatient. The old me was not a good listener. I wanted to change those things. I wanted the new me to be a better listener. I wanted the new me to have more patience. And you know what? The old me was also a person who jumped to conclusions. I wanted the new me to be one who understood forgiveness and to understand another person's point of view. That doesn't mean the old me was just bad. It just, I'd outgrown it, a lot of it. So in order to do that, I got to know what the old me was, and I've got to know what the new me is going to be. And I also want to make these changes forever. I mean, I want to make them quickly. I don't want to let them take forever to happen. Some people they draw out these changes so long, they forget they were going to make them in the first place. So we're going to talk about in today's show, revisit goal setting, get ourselves understanding the importance and the need to set goals, and why some people don't, and then get back into how to make the step from the old you to the new you. I hope that makes sense to you guys. All right. I think that's about all we have for our opening. Kind of miss having the fabulous Natasha on the show, you know? Yeah. I mean, looking at her beautiful face sitting over there. But Eric, what did you have any, did you do any special things over the holiday? Do anything special?
Family came down and we just hung out, and my dad made Indian food for, for Christmas dinner.
where'd they come from?
From Colorado.
You know what? What part of Colorado?
My sister's in Denver. My dad lives up in a little town called Avon, which is by Vail and Beaver Creek.
Sure. Yeah. It gets cold up there, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
It gets real cold up there.
Yes, indeed.
Sure. Actually, it gets cold even in Denver, too. When you start getting up around Evergreen, they get lots of snow up there.
I remember walking to school one time, and it was 20 below.
Ooh, real temperature or wind chill?
I think it was with wind chill, but I mean, it was cold.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't really matter at that point if it's got wind chill or not. It's cold.
You know, basically, it doesn't. But the coldest temperature I've ever been in my life was in Chicago, where it was a real temperature of 20 below, and it had a wind chill of 63 below.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. That's like, I can't say anything to make you understand what that's like. It is so cold that, in fact, if your car is outside in the weather for half an hour, it won't start. Half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like plug in the oil dipstick that keeps the engine warm,
the
or something.
Thing,
it's just amazing. So, but it gets cold up there, but keep the snow going. That's how we get our water running right down the Colorado River and filling up our reservoirs. So let it snow, let it snow, let it snow up there in Colorado. Isn't that right, Nick? Nick's going. I just talked to the boys up there in Denver just 2 days ago, and they're having a big snowy winter too. So let it snow, gang. You know, I talk about goals a lot, especially at the first of the year. And I consider goals achievement skills, Eric. And what I mean by achievement skills, they differ from, you know, like inborn attributes, talents. Inborn attributes are things that you're born with. You really can't do anything about it. Your achievement skills are things that you can create inside of yourself. Like patience, that's an achievement skill. Promptness, it's another achievement skill. Being on time, being a good listener. These are all things that you can create inside of yourself. But to my way of thinking, the number one achievement skill of all is the ability to form and realize goals. They are essential to your happiness and essential to your success in life. And anyone can become a fabulous, an obsessive, a successful goal setter. It just simply takes desire. You have to want to be successful. Now, without goals, you're going to just drift. You're going to live your life without a purpose. And that's the way the majority of people live. They live their lives just drifting in one direction or another, basically based upon what's going on around them. They're being directed by change that they're not prepared to deal with. Their change is unpredictable, and as a result, any kind of change produces anxiety for people. When you set goals, it controls the direction of change. Change is no longer unpredictable. It no longer catches you off guard. It's something that you welcome into your life because you know that change is unavoidable. I love things to change. If you don't set goals, and I'm not saying this to hurt anyone's feelings, but if you don't set goals, you're going to be condemned to always work for someone who does. If you don't set goals and establish priorities in your life and do first things first, you are going to always work for someone who will make sure you do. And I kind of getting an idea across to you how important they are. James Allen, the famous author, once said, "You will become as small as your controlling desire or as great as your dominant aspiration. You will become what you think about most of the time." So, if goals are so necessary to success, why do so few people set goals? Well, for those of you who listened to me over the last couple of weeks, you know why people don't. They don't know how essential they are. They're afraid of failure, or they're afraid of being criticized by other people for setting the goals in the first place. You have to understand, folks, as I talked about, people who don't set goals are naturally intimidated of people who do. And then, of course, some people just don't know how to set goals. They think that just sitting and thinking about and wanting and longing for something is setting goals. Well, those characteristics may be important to the overall concept of goal setting. However, they're essentially passive, and it doesn't really get things done. We've got to get to the active scale, to the active level. We've got to make things happen. So those are the three main reasons people don't set goals. They don't know how essential they are, Eric. They don't know how very, very important they are. They're afraid of failure. They don't understand the importance of failure in life. And they're afraid of being criticized, especially if they fail. And then some people don't know how to set goals. They think they are setting goals, but they're not, and wondering why they're not moving ahead. Now, I have fine-tuned an immediate goal-setting method that is surefire. Eric, it is failure-proof. It is a surefire achievement system that is going to infuse focused energy into you. It is going to infuse channeled energy into whatever it is you decide to do. You will begin to achieve, and you will gain confidence practically immediate. You will have the power to achieve whatever it is you want in life. And I'm going to give you that today. This is an immediate goal setting method. And then after we finish all 15 steps of moving from the old you to the new you, then we're going to go into a more advanced 12-step goal setting method that I learned from the great Brian Tracy. And I have used that in my life to overcome obstacles, to eliminate adversity, to move ahead of any kind of obstacle that may get in my way. I've used that to overcome my own self-imposed limitations. I've used the goal setting to overcome my fear of success and my fear of failure. I've used it to overcome the fact that I didn't like myself very much. I'm going to give you one of the main secrets to life, and I hope you're as excited about it as I am. You see, I've got several big dreams that are just running around in my head right now. And I'm bringing these two subjects to you so that I can hear myself talk about them and I can stay focused on doing them. Because even though you may have heard me talk about this before, gang, listen up. These things are not self-actualizing. In other words, just because you've heard it before, they're not going to activate themselves. You must bring them into reality. You have to know about them, and then you have to make them work. So, I want you to use my immediate goal setting method that is a surefire system to bring you on the fast track to success. Now, the first step, before I can get to the system itself, the first step in the process is to eliminate negative emotions from your life and to remove yourself from the company of negative people in negative situations. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot become successful long-term if you're hanging out with people who are negative. You've got to remove yourself from the company of negative people. You've got to get yourself out of negative situations, and you must do it now. You must stop making excuses. You know what, Eric? A lot of people frame their lives, just like you might frame a house with 2x4s and 4x6s. A lot of people frame their lives with excuses. You have to abandon excuses. Get rid of your excuses, the reasons you've been hanging on to these negative people and these negative situations, these negative jobs, these negative relationships, these toxic environments. Get away from them. The only thing that's hanging you to them is your emotional need or your psychological need to stay for it. You feel somehow that you must be in them. Get out of them. You cannot take advantage of all the things I'm going to bring to you unless you do that first step. Eliminate the negative emotions, eliminate the guilt, eliminate the hate, eliminate the fear, eliminate the doubt, eliminate the worry, and I'm going to show you ways to do that. But I can't get these negative people and these negative situations out of your life. No one but you can. Okay, it's 21 minutes past the hour here on The Power Hour if you just tuned in. My name is Mac Newton, and we meet here every Thursday at macnewton.com at 5 p.m. and then we upload it onto the website where you can tune in and download it at your convenience. Now, over in the first 3 months of the new year, I'm going to be bringing a new dream about on macnewton.com, and you're going to be seeing some phenomenal changes that are very, very exciting, and I can't even tell you about all of them right now, but it's going to make going to that site the place to be. All right. If you continue to hang around negative people, if you continue to allow yourself to be hunkered down in negative situations, you will lose the power to see the future. And as we've talked about so many times on the Power Hour, one of the initial elements of success is to visualize where you want to go. You have to give the universe that you want to enter in a success partnership with, you got to give them an idea of what you want. You got to give them a clear picture. Goal setting helps you do that, but you lose the power to see the future when you are dragged down in negative relationships and with negative people, when you are dragged down by thoughts of anger and fear and self-pity and envy or anxiety or just worry of any kind. When you're being dragged down by these negative emotions, you cannot visualize. You cannot be a visionary. You can't even see. You can't even come up with what you want. And sometimes I've even said that to people. You know, they'll ask me questions about goal setting and things, and I'll say, okay, tell me quickly what it is exactly you want. Give me the three things in life you want most right now. And they'll go, huh? Huh? What do you mean? They don't even know what they want, because they're hanging out with negative people. They're involved in negative jobs and negative relationships. Their lives are toxic. How in the world are you going to figure out what it is you want? You know what these people are doing? They're just wanting their lives to somehow miraculously get better. And gang, it's not going to. With your mind filled with anger, and fellas, if you got a problem with that, become a regular listener to the Power Hour, because we are going to spend a couple weeks on that pretty soon. The phenomenon of anger and the lives that it has destroyed. Envy. What's positive about that? Envy and jealousy. Self-pity. Oh, how pathetic. And worry and anxiety. But I've boiled it all down to this. Eric, I've boiled it down after years and years, and I started doing this full-time in 1988, going into my 21st year of researching, reading, and studying, and presenting the psychology of human achievement. 21 years. And that's not counting the time before that I studied it without even knowing what I was studying in my martial arts training. I've boiled it down to this, that all these negative thoughts, all of them that I've already mentioned, all the ones I've talked about in the past, are all caused by one thing primarily: deep-rooted feelings of inferiority. There, I said it, it's out there. Inferiority. The cure for all negative emotions is to say, I am responsible. I am responsible. I like myself. 6 words, gang. I like myself. I am responsible. I like myself. I am responsible. I like myself. I am responsible. Those 6 words, that's the cure. Now, the next step, before we get into this immediate goal setting method, the next step is to decide what you really want out of your life. What do you really want? What are your basic values? What do you really want to be? Because let's face it, within you, there is at least one area of excellence in which you shine like no one else's, in which your talent is extraordinary. This is the area of passion that you have in life. The thing you do, that thing you do the way no one else does it. The thing you love to do. Some of you are not getting paid for that thing you love to do, but you should be. So obviously that's got to be high on your goal list. It's also the way you're going to earn your greatest financial success. Okay, those two steps. Those are the two steps. And with that, you'll be able to take this immediate goal setting method I'm going to give you today and make it a part of your life today, immediately. Now, if your passions are buried so deep that you no longer can even recognize them, then you can use this goal setting method to discover the things that you are passionate about. And you won't be one of those people who doesn't, you don't even know what you want. You can't even answer the question, what did you want? I don't know. So one of the things we're going to do is I'll give you a little test right now. You know what, Eric, I'm going to get to this. I'm going to get to this, I think, later. Okay, gang, it's our first show of the year, and things are backing up on me here a little bit. I had some things I wanted to do at the end of last year, so I apologize for that. I also apologize for not letting you know that we were going to be gone for 2 weeks, but it was kind of unexpected. So we're still working out some of the kinks here on the Power Hour. So, but that's okay. It's part of the excitement. Keeps it fun. You never know what's going on. Next week, I'm going to give you a simple goal-setting exercise that will help you discover those again, all right? Okay. We'll give you the... I've got them written down here somewhere in longhand in my regular notes. Let's see, where is that, Eric? That would be right here. Okay. All righty. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 things comprises my goal setting exercise. All right. Are you ready, gang? I want you to get a piece of paper and write it out. On the top, goals. Right underneath that, write the day's date, that day's date, and then put your name on that piece of paper. 3 categories. Category number 1, personal/family. 3 to 5 goals in that area. Category number 2, career/profession. 3 to 5 goals. In that area. And category number 3, self-improvement. All right. The process of writing goals down on paper is essential. 3 to 5 goals, personal/family, career/profession, and number 3, self-improvement. Personal/family, that's why you do everything, man. That's why you do it all. Career, that's how you do it. Self-improvement, you're working on the what. What, how, and why. Now we've got balanced goals, and we want to write down each one of these goals, or all 3 to 5 in each one of these areas, once a week. Just simply recopy it. It's just that simple. Recopy those goals at least once a week and make a note of your progress. These are goals now because they're written down. They are not wishes. They are not wishes. Now, sometimes you will pick up that paper and you'll find that something on that sheet doesn't look right. And you'll realize that it's not one of your goals. It's a bad goal. It's a bad goal. And so you'll take it off. And that's what writing them down does. It puts you in touch with the things that are really passionate for you. Hey gang, you guys stay right where you are. It's now 29 minutes past the hour, and my name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. You stay right where you are. Get a drink of water. Sit back for just a second. Check me out. We'll be right back. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. If you're listening to the Power Hour, you're obviously interested in success. You're interested in getting the most out of yourself as a human machine. Personally, that's been my goal for the last 21 years. Now what I'm trying to do is help other people do the same thing and at the same time provide a method for me to shine even brighter. That's the way the world works, you know? So I've set up www.macnewton.com as a destination for people who want to be successful. Do yourself a favor. Visit macnewton.com. Log on to MacNewton On and read about the challenging topics that's going to challenge how you think. I'm not saying any of these things are right. I'm just saying that it'll challenge how you think and bring you in touch with the things you're passionate about. It'll give you a chance to listen to past shows on the Power Hour, all kinds of topics. Topics like anger and guilt, manipulation, relationships, forgiveness. Things that we all need to experience more of in our lives so that we can not just live a long time, but live well and get the most out of life. So if those things are not interesting to you, then I guess I'm not talking to you. But most of you, I know it because you tell me in your emails. This is the stuff we all want to hear more about. Find more about it, www.macnewton.com. And do me a personal favor, gang. Tell a friend. And so that our radio show and our experience will grow further and grow bigger and grow better all the time. Hey gang, welcome back to the Power Hour. If you're just tuning in, my name is Mac Newton, and we meet here, right here on MacNewton.com every Thursday at 5 o'clock. We do it live, just like right now, looking out the beautiful blue sky, 72 degrees, and we're 32 minutes past the hour here in Phoenix, Arizona, 32 minutes past 5, and wherever you may be, I hope you're feeling as excited about your world and your future as Eric and I are. And if Natasha was here, she would be saying exactly the same thing. We've not let no one sit in for it. We just kept the chair empty. But we put something in it to keep it warm. Just kidding. We miss you, Natasha. She's probably listening right now. We miss you. She'll be back on the show next week. All right, Eric, are we ready for the second half?
I'm ready when you are,
brother. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're ready. Let's pick up just where we left off there, gang, right before the break. You know what? I'm reminded of a story. I moved into the house I live in now 11 years ago, Eric. It is my dream house. And I'll tell you the truth. I never, ever thought I'd live in such a home. But 11 years ago, I was moving out of a much smaller home. Not that far from my studio here, about, I would say, maybe 3 miles up 32nd Street. It wasn't anything fancy, but I was proud of it. It was clean. The rooms were very, very small. I had a friend over helping me pack and getting ready to move. And I had a roll-top desk in my den. And the room was so small and the door so small leading into it that we had to dismantle the desk to get it in. So we obviously had to dismantle it to get it out, to move it. So we were there, and I was taking the drawers apart and pulling them out. And as I took all these sheets of paper out of one drawer, all these legal pads that I had folded over, yellow legal pads, and my friend said, "What's those?" And I just kind of looked at him for a second, and I said, "Those are my goal sheets." Now, you got to understand, I started doing that 10 years before this move. And he says, "My gosh, all those are different goals?" I says, "Well," and I considered, should I actually talk to him about this? Should I discuss this? And he looked sincere, so I decided to sit down, take a break from our moving, and I pulled out the very first one that I wrote back in 1988. And we started moving forward. As I looked at goals that I'd set about financial goals and goals about my health and goals about my business and goals about, well, the very house that I was getting ready to move into had been written down as a goal just a little less than a year before. And as he sat there, he says, "You know what? This is giving me goosebumps. watching how you've actually been the fortune teller of your life. He says, can you tell me how to do it? Absolutely. And I sat there and I told him the same method that I just told you. That is my immediate, surefire, quick start, can't fail, goal setting method. You know, I didn't create that. I learned it from one of the most brilliant guys I've ever met. His name is Brian Tracy, whom I met in 1988, kind of the before and after of a lot of things in my life. Brian Tracy, we met one day in 1988 at a very small Taekwondo studio I was teaching at here on Indian School Road in Phoenix. And he was saying things to me like, you know what, for someone so good, you've accomplished almost nothing. For someone with so much obvious ability and talent, you've done very, very little. It's like I'm trying to figure out, is he complimenting me or is he insulting me? Well, he was doing both. He had the courage to actually say this to my face. And I actually knew he was telling the truth. He wasn't trying to hurt my feelings. It was true. And on that day, he talked to me about two things: goal setting and how to like myself. I mean, for about 9 hours. Gang, changed my life forever, as you can tell. I have been an obsessive goal setter ever since. I have been a soldier in the army of finding out about human achievement, and also of sharing it with others. Because I know that you build your life, you improve the quality of your life to the degree that you help other people get what they want out of life. And boy, I want part of that package. And by the way, that young fella went on to take that program and become one of the most successful real estate salesmen in the city of Phoenix today. And even though that we're going through a little bit a little downturn in the real estate sales in Phoenix, he is in the top 3%, has not affected him one bit. Any more than it's affected our business. When you are in the top 3% of whatever it is you do, you are recession proof, you are depression proof, it cannot touch you. Oh, you may have to do some things differently, there's no question, but you will still be there when it's you will be still standing when the smoke clears. That's what we're talking about, gang. We're talking about how to take charge of your life and move from the old you to the new you. Okay. Let's revisit one more time our quick setting goals, immediate goal setting method. The goals you need to set should be apparent to you and will become more apparent after I give you our goal setting exercise next week. Your goals have to be balanced, though. We can't have all your goals in one area. 3 to 5 in each one of these three areas. Number 1, personal/family. Number 2, career/profession. And number 3, self-improvement. But write them down on paper and recopy these goals. Sit in a quiet place. When it's warm in Phoenix, in the summertime, I like to sit out in my patio and kind of look at the mountains in the distance and listen to the sounds of nature and rewrite them every week. In the wintertime, and here in winter, in Phoenix, it's winter right now. Because for us, face it, Eric, I mean, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold. I mean, for us, it is. I know you are not thinking, if you're listening in Saginaw, Michigan, or in Green Bay.
51 degrees is nothing. But
exactly. And that's true. You know, the other day I was coming to work and there were two guys running down the street near my home. It was 45 degrees, according to my car. And they were running down the street with tank tops and shorts. They just got in town from St. Paul, Minnesota. Minnesota. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
So, anyway, recopy your goals at least once a week. And as I said before the break, when you write the goals down, you'll find that sometimes after you've written them down 2 or 3 weeks in a row, that one will jump out at you as, that's not a goal. I don't want that. And that's exactly the purpose of it, to get you in touch with the things that are goals for you. And the second thing that'll happen is you'll find that you start to achieve goals almost as soon as you start writing them down. So all I want you to do, gang, is write them down. Write the goals down. Now, quickly, one final point before I move on. You got to realize that failure is a necessary part of this process. We're going to talk about that later on in our 15 steps. So fail forward, if you like. as if you are skipping stones across a river. You won't reach success until you've failed enough to learn what you need to know. But you have to persist beyond that. Then, when you succeed, you will succeed big time because you've learned all your lessons. Okay? Now, that's kind of my monologue that took over half of my show today. But I think it's essential, especially based on the show that I did while we were on hiatus over the holidays. Now, the 15 steps. We had covered number 1, 2, and 3. How to change your personal rules for success. How to quit trying harder. And how to ignore conventional approaches. Now, if you missed those shows, I think you need to go back to show that was dated. I think that was December 18th. Okay, December 18th. So go back online, macnewton.com, and check and deal with that show. Okay, let's head ahead. It is now 40 minutes past the hour on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And hope you are having a wonderful time wherever you may be. My name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. Number 4, think beyond what common sense would allow. Now, most people, even those who are excited about their lives and interested in goal setting and are interested in getting more out of themselves. Now, a lot of people, Eric, are not really interested in finding out the limits of what their possibilities are. They just want to do a little better than they're doing. I'm talking to people, and I want you guys to get excited about finding the limits of your possibilities, finding out exactly how good can you be. The world needs that. We don't need mediocrity. We don't need just being okay. Most people can be found flying far too close to the ground. Too often we don't give ourselves permission to really fly, soar. In order to do that, you got to do number 4, think beyond what common sense allows. It's time to start focusing on possibilities, gang. Most people focus on their limitations. They argue for them sometimes. Just give that up. It's time to start focusing on what's possible. Even when I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, I got a couple emails on that. And they were going on and on about, you know, well, what they couldn't eat. I can't have eggs, and I can't have milk, and I can't have butter. You know, gang, it's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. If you focus on what you can, you'll find out that you've got possibilities to accomplish so much more than you ever thought you could. Making a quantum leap means moving outside your mental boundaries. If you can just rethink how you're thinking, you can now multiply your performance potential as opposed to just adding to it sequentially. You must let your desires, the things you want, lead you. And as I said before, if you don't know, go back to our goal setting exercise, and that's going to help you figure out all the things that are important to you that you have passion about. Don't let yourself be boxed in by the things that you just think you can't do. Moving from the old you to the new you means violating, you know, the boundary of what's possible for you, or the probable. Okay, not possible, probable. It means achieving well beyond the obvious. So you don't have to limit your wants to what you just think you can have. You know, you got to go after what you want, what you really want. Because most people settle for just what they want. And once you start settling, Eric, where does it stop? I mean, you start settling for, you know, less. So you take jobs that pay you less. You start accepting, you know, you order food and the wrong things come, you don't even send it back because you just settle. You just take it anyway. You don't want to be a bother. You don't want to be a mess. You're a pest. Where does it stop? Where does settling stop? You need to lose 50 pounds, but you'll take 10. Where does it stop? Well, the answer is simple. It doesn't. Until finally your life is just some sort of a shadow of what it could be. This means you've got to give yourself permission to dream, to take risks. You got to set yourself free. Now, I'm not talking about getting better by 10 or 20% at all. That's not the idea. That would represent an incremental gain, I think. that might be impressive in some situations where there are some, you know, unusual obstacles or some difficult set of circumstances, you know, like you're trying to play baseball on one leg, you know. But so a goal like that might be challenging, but it does represent a quantum leap. Instead of an additional 10% or so, a quantum leap represents and can produce a dramatic, a multiple gain, exponential increases by orders of magnitude, order of 8%, I mean, eight times, 10 times, 12 times, 15 times from where you are right now. They are by definition astounding and certainly unconventional. But we talked about that last time. Ignore conventional approaches. I don't want you to get the idea that anything's possible, because it's not. But in some areas of your life, what is within your reach is enough to triple what you're doing right now. Or you can leverage up to 3, 4, 5 times what you're doing right now. Of course there are limits, but you don't need to worry about your limits. They'll define themselves. Your real limits are way beyond what your artificial mental limits that you've set on yourself are. The real limits won't box you in, but your perceived limits will box you in like a cow in a corral. It's like a self-imposed prison. So how do you break out of that jail? How do you get out? Well, you get out through surrender, like so many other things. You simply give up some of your old beliefs. You give up and you sacrifice some of those so-called sensible thinking patterns that you've been having. They're not sensible patterns. They're just habitual patterns. It's mental junk. Stuff that's been floating around. Stuff that people said about you years ago that wasn't true. It's like my baseball coach called me clumsy. I'm not clumsy. But yet and still, I picked it up and put it in. It was just mental junk. So whenever I was around him, I was clumsy. And we have all these ideas about ourselves that have come to us in exactly the same way. And we think it's sensible. It's not sensible at all. And these so-called, this common sense, that's a curse. And it puts a limit, a ceiling on how far you can reach, and certainly on how high you can fly. Because that's what I'm talking about, gang. I'm talking about flying. I'm talking about soaring, reaching high. This is the quantum leap strategy from the old you to the new you, and it's based on uncommon sense. Scary, huh? Yeah. Not sure you can believe it all, huh? Yeah. You want to believe it, don't you? You want to think that that can really happen. You want to think you can actually do that. You can actually change your life. And sometimes listening to me, you can actually believe it's true. Well, it is. Let's move on to number 5. I'm not going to ask you to believe anything I've said in the first 4 steps. What I'm going to ask you to do is to suspend disbelief. That's step 5. Suspend disbelief. Act as if your success is for certain. Instead of holding back because you don't have hard proof that you can actually make a quantum leap, that you can move from the old you to the new you and do it fast. See if you can come up with evidence proving you can't. I mean, just make the jump. Just go. Act as if your success is guaranteed. I've got a big rock on my training floor. It's engraved. It was sent to me by a good friend of mine named Tom up in Denver, Colorado. And he says, "What would you do if your success was guaranteed? It was guaranteed you could not fail. What would you do?" That's what I want you to do. I want you to act as if your success is for certain, as if it's guaranteed. Now, see what it is I was talking about earlier. Your mindset right now is flawed by doubt and skepticism. I mean, the idea of making a quantum leap in your performance, I mean, jumping from where you are in your life or your level of performance to a level several stages higher in just one bold move. It's like an idea from Mars. I mean, we haven't been trained to think that way. I know I wasn't. I know the kids today aren't being trained to think that way. So you've got some definite reservations about this possibility that you can even make such an exponential improvement at all, and particularly with less effort, and particularly in a shorter period of time. So Mac Daddy, I like you, but you're crazy. I am not crazy. You know why? Because the experts generally agree that people typically use only about 10% of their true potential. Now, if we accept that argument, and I buy into it a bit, and even if there are no other resources outside of yourself that you could bring to bear on this situation, you could still do 10 times as good as you've been doing. Yep. So your skepticism, which you presume, okay, is based on rational thinking, like I said earlier, you know, and an objective assessment of your factual data about yourself, is, like I said, rooted in nothing more than mental junk. Your doubts are not the product of accurate thinking, habitual thinking. Years ago, you accepted flawed conclusions as correct. You're too short. You'll never add up to anything. You can't do math. You're clumsy, you know. You're not pretty enough. You know, everybody in our family does this. You know, you accepted these flawed conclusions as correct. And you began to live your life by them. You began to live your life as these warped ideas about your potential were true. And you know what you did? See, Eric, here's the deal. When you're a kid, that's when you have all these bold experiments. They're watching their athlete heroes on TV, and then they go out and play, and they're trying to be like them. You watch your musician heroes play, and you're trying to play the same things that they are playing on guitar. It's like me trying to be like George Benson. As you're a kid, I call those bold experiments in life. And kids have all these bold experiments. And that's where you experience them. And then as soon as you accept these warped ideas about your potential, you accept them as true. All those bold experiments that brought you all your breakthroughs as a child cease. End. Over. Done. Now, right now, it's time for you to find the faith that you had in yourself before. Okay, now is the time. If you want to be skeptical, you know, of some ideas that really need to be, that deserve to be called into question, why don't you challenge the thoughts and beliefs that argue against you being fabulous, about you making a quantum leap now? All the things you wanted to do can still get done. Quit buying into a number. If you want to challenge something, put those old inhibiting ideas that have argued against you, put them to the test by going for it with everything you got. But for right now, here's your job. Just suspend your disbelief. I don't want you to be convinced you succeed in making a quantum leap. Not right now. Not on step 5. We got further to go. But for right now, I just want you to suspend it, you know? I mean, if it'll make it easier, just hold off on believing anything. Just stay with me. Just keep hanging on here and see where we go with this thing. Just act like you have complete faith. Merely do what you do if you knew you were going to succeed. Behave like you have total conviction. You see, gang, here's a word that really cramps your style. And that word is doubt. Doubt is a style cramper. It does the most damage. So, you know what I say? Don't give it any mental space. Don't think about it. Just keep moving boldly. Proceed as if it is completely inconceivable to you that you will experience anything other than a successful quantum leap. So if you want to doubt something, doubt your limits. If you want to doubt something, doubt your limits. All right. here we are just in our second week of doing these. We had a little, had the holidays creep in there. And I hope your holidays were fabulous. I love the holidays. I mean, for one, I didn't used to because, you know, I don't know. Because I don't have a lot of family members around me, and you know, I was spending a lot of time alone, and I'll admit I really had difficulties with relationships, simply because I had abandonment issues. My mom died when I was born, and my father had abandoned us some years before that. And so I had issues. And growing up in the foster care system, you know, and moving from one foster home to another, it's like every time I fell in love with the family, I had to go somewhere else. So I had issues. And it's, so the holidays were a time that was very difficult for me. But as over the last 21 years, I've come to get inside of myself and realize that, well, number one, I like myself. I am valuable. And I am responsible. I can do it. Add three more to those six. I like myself. I am responsible. I can do it. So as time goes, when it's gone on, I've now started to embrace the holidays like never before. I love them. And Natasha and I just loved spending time over the holidays and listening to music, you know, watching holiday displays, the lights, the Christmas the movies. Two of our favorites are Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation. I can answer any trivial point about Christmas Story. Ask me one. If you can ask me anything about Christmas Story that I don't know the answer to, I'll give you a copy of my book. And so we have our favorites. Miracle on 34th Street, you know, all that. I mean, and just so you just embrace the holiday. You just embrace it as you can embrace life. You don't get to a point in your life, you don't get 35 or 40 or 50 and 60 years old and think, oh, now I just got to survive to the end. No, you embrace life. Set goals, make plans. Get out there, let the world know you're healthy. Let the world know you're still alive. Well, like I said, we're coming to the end of another Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton, and we do this every Thursday. But you don't wait. You have to wait till next Thursday to hear me again. You can go on macnewton.com and log on and listen to just an endless number of different Power Hour shows and listen to one every day. Share them with your family like Mark does. Share them with his kids and share them with your kids as well. And do me a favor, gang. Tell a friend. Tell a friend about the Power Hour so we can continue to grow here internationally, streaming live on the World Wide Web all around the world. It's amazing, Eric. Right now, they're listening to us in the Philippines and in Ecuador and in England. So it's my pleasure to bring this thing to you. But as I do at this time, 2 minutes before the close, as we listen to Jimmy Smith bring us out, take us out of this thing, I want to always say be true to yourself, which means always make your words and your actions match. And if you fail one time, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. That doesn't mean a doggone thing. We got more coming on that topic too. I always want to say thanks to Bob Adlock, who help us get started with the original Power Hour on TV. And JC, who was my co-host, he's up in San Francisco now with his fabulous family. Pat McMahon, who got me started in the radio business and gave me encouragement. And of course, to the fabulous Natasha, who's not with us today, but probably is in spirit. All of our shout out guests. And of course, to Eric, who made the whole thing happen right on the other side of the glass. Thanks, brother.
My pleasure.
And for all of you out there, no matter where you are around this wide, wonderful world that we live in, I hope you too are focusing on the possibilities. Turn on Jimmy Smith there a little bit. See if we can get a little bit of that. Jimmy Smith passed away a couple years ago, gang, but I had the great pleasure of meeting him before he passed away, introduced by my great friend George Benson, and also the same thing for Lou Rawls. Got a chance to meet Growth, these giants. So you're listening to a little bit of Organ Grinder Swing, taking us out of the Power Hour here. We'll be back with you guys next Thursday at the same time. Every Thursday at 5 o'clock. At macnewton.com. Okay, gang, I guess he's giving me the sign that we got 30 seconds left to go to remind you, be true to you, make your words and your behaviors match, stay on the 3-2, let's get healthy, drink 120 ounces of water every single day, and join Natasha and Eric and I back here on the Power Hour. And like I said, they call me the Mac Daddy. And I'll answer to that and any other name as long as I'm not late for a meal. 3, 2, 1, peace. The Mac Daddy is out.